very specifically, we have to ask ourselves and answer a question, every individual. Are we a loyalist or are we a patriot? Are we God-fearing, freedom-loving, self-reliant Americans? Or are we government-dependent, constitution-ignoring socialists? That is the question we all have to answer. And I appreciate Radio Free Readout because they've been answering that question quite well to many people in this area for a long, long time.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Broadcasting from Free America, deep inside of the American Redoubt, welcome to episode 1419 on this 18th day of May. What a busy week. There's so much Patriot activity going on. We're going to fill you in on all of that. I want to thank all of our brand new listeners that we've picked up over this week. I want to welcome all of you God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots all across the American Redoubt, and for those of you who are outside the wire, in occupied America, you are in our prayers, and to our Canadian listeners to the north, and also our soldiers and sailors, our servicemen that are sacrificing for us overseas. For those of you out there in the listening audience, I want to thank all of you guys for what you're doing. God bless you. Remember, you can also follow us on facebook.com/Radio Free Readout. That's where we're putting up the most content that is current, up to date, and things that you'll find entertaining, uplifting, inspirational, and sometimes it'll just flat make you mad. But it's all part of keeping you informed. And that's what we're here for, to hopefully inspire you, to encourage you, to inform you. And the partisans of Radio Free Readout and myself work diligently to make sure that that happens. Speaking of partisans working hard to serve you, I want to remind you that Java Man, codename Java Man, has been tweaking and adjusting the website American-Redoubtjobs.com. Is working on that website so that those of you who are relocating and those of you who have Patriot-owned businesses looking for like-minded, Patriot, God-fearing, liberty-minded employees, we are trying to make the connection there. So I want to encourage you to go visit that. And also, someone asked me a question. They emailed this week and said, what do I do? We're supposed to keep, you know, OPSEC, security, operational security, PERSEC, personal security. Do we set up this profile with our real name, or do we use our code name, or what? Well, you can certainly use your code name for the, you know, your American Redoubt Network code name or AMRON call sign for setting up that account. Of course, just remember, when you actually apply for a job, you're going to have to use your real name. But that would be just between you and the prospective employer. And, of course, it'd be kind of hard if the employers also use code names. Nobody would know who was applying for what, and you don't – that would be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? Okay, so learn more at American-Redoubtjobs.com. And thank you, Codename Java Man, for all the hard work that you've been doing on that website. It will be a service, especially when that comes to full maturity. We are going to be on a mission to develop that with more employers. So that's going to take some footwork on our part. If any of you know of a Patriot-owned business, Christian-owned business that is hiring, then please let us know so we can add them to the list. We can contact them and let them know what we got going on. Okay, since we have quite a bit of stuff to cover, let's get right into the news and commentary. News that could affect you as God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots, especially those of you with strategic relocation in mind for you, your family, and your businesses. The news and commentary this week is sponsored by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. Learn more by going to 299days.com. Caldwell, Idaho, just got themselves a new MRAP, and their leadership can't understand why anyone might be upset at the thought of this agency owning and operating an 18-ton military-grade troop carrier. He says, well, it's just a piece of steel that we put between good guys and the bad guys. Of course, we're seeing a shift in this country of the redefining of what a bad guy is. Someday it could be homeschoolers that aren't complying with homosexual curriculum requirements, right? He says the military truck, known officially as a mine-resistant ambush-protected personnel carrier, hence the acronym MRAP, it's just another protection measure for Caldwell cops. Every officer already wears body armor when they go out on duty. So, okay, well, since they already have a handgun, why don't we just give them a AT-4? Why don't we just give them a javelin missile as well? You never know, right? What's interesting about this city, though, these rigs originally cost the military $500,000 a piece. So since they have a surplus of them, they are giving them away to police departments. But they're not knocking on doors saying, hey, you want an MRAP? It's actually something that the police departments have to go through a process and seek out getting one of these through a grant program. And so they went through the application process last August, and they finally picked it up and went down to Texas and picked the thing up. Probably only cost about $12,000 in fuel to bring it back. But what's interesting is Caldwell just celebrated the city's lowest crime rate on record. The police chief himself, Chris Allgood, said that there's been a staggering drop in shots fired. Now, in 2006, they recorded 78 shots fired. Of course, you know, what's that? Somebody shooting a raccoon in their backyard? So any type of shot fired, 78 of them in 2006. And in 2013, they only had 2 shots fired. Well, geez, I mean, it just makes sense that we should have, you know, military equipment now. He says, why do we need it? Well, the SWAT team could use the vehicle for raids and possibly serving warrants in cases where extreme danger might exist. So you think that thing's going to stay parked? Nah. Well, it's the militarization. Just like when I gave my presentation yesterday to the group in Washington, had a little Patriot gathering. Joel Skousen and myself were the keynote speakers. We had some other great speakers as well, really covering some really informative topics. But like I said, anytime you have military performing law enforcement duties or you start to militarize your civilian police, it's bad. And speaking of bad, the ATF now wants to create a nationwide registry. The BATF. They say when an individual purchases a firearm from a licensed dealer, the FBI performs a background check. Now that data is supposed to be destroyed. This was a fundamental argument in the push for universal background checks, because if a background check's mandatory for all gun purchases and not having a background check is a punishable offense, the federal government would need to be able to verify whether a firearm transfer was done correctly. So the only way to accomplish that is through a universal gun registry. The ATF quietly has been preparing to start a new gun registry that will create a record anytime someone purchases more than 2 firearms at the same time. So why does the ATF want those records? They say it's necessary for national security. Well, of course. Well, their cousins in the Homeland Security, they're busy fighting terrorists by raiding flea markets. Oh, wait. They're ignoring terrorist threats so they can raid flea markets. This is from Blacklisted News. The Department of Homeland Security is currently busting flea market vendors while turning a blind eye to suspected terrorists entering the U.S. And, of course, jacking up, you know, U.S. citizens that happen to find their way onto the no-fly list. The most recent raids occurred at two flea markets near Lawrence, Massachusetts. One place to be from earlier this week, which netted the arrest of 40 merchants accused of selling bogus merchandise. So what? I don't know, pirated DVDs? That's worthy of a Department of Homeland Security raid, right? Hey, we just watched a movie the other night, and I never really noticed it before, but you know at the beginning where it has the little FBI warnings, you know, for piracy is a crime, this is the FBI pirating task force, whatever it is, that has a little badge, FBI badge. Now there's two badges. There's the FBI on the left and Department of Homeland Security badge on the right. I thought, that's interesting. Now, it's probably been there for a while. I just never really paid any attention to it. But interesting. The Department of Homeland Security was the lead in the raid with Lawrence Police Department. Of course, Lawrence Police Department. Now, you know, these new programs that the Department of Homeland Security is doing, we've covered this before. Any type of material, any type of assets that are seized in a raid, when a local department assists, they get a cut of whatever's confiscated. So, I mean, besides grabbing a pile of DVDs, if there also happens to be $10,000 sitting there along with the vendor as part of his outfit, well, they get to split that. So there's an incentive built in for local law enforcement to run around doing these raids for the Department of Homeland Security. Pretty sneaky, huh? Well, the police chief referred all questions concerning the raid to the Department of Homeland Security, which previously targeted flea markets in Maryland, New Hampshire, and, whoa, the Texas redoubt. I'm surprised they put up with that. But considering the recent expose of DHS's hands-off list of terror suspects who are allowed unrestricted entry into the U.S., it's getting pretty obvious that Homeland Security is more concerned with targeting ordinary Americans, despite the fact that the agency was ostensibly created to stop terrorism. Well, of course, to justify their existence, they're going to have to just keep redefining what a terrorist. Now, they're not even saying terrorist anymore. Now it's national security. Well, you can read that story and all these others over at blacklistednews.com, at least this particular story, by clicking through to on the highlights and resources posting for today's episode, which is episode 14-19. Occasionally we get an email saying, hey, where do I find this article you said that would be on the website? Well, you go to the episode, and it will be, this is the 19th episode of 2014. You go to the episode 14-19. It's right there on the main page. And there's a special section that codename Pauly01 set up with all of the archived previous shows. And that will take you to the highlights and resources page where you can listen to that episode and scroll down through all of the resources and links and highlights that we mentioned throughout that particular episode. Just a little side note there. The Brady campaign headed up some talks about gun control, but only the hypocrites are using armed security. Monday evening's Town Hall Seattle Forum, featuring top local and national spokesmen for gun control, might better have been a discussion about world-class hypocrisy, since a sign on the door advised that guns were prohibited, and yet the anti-gunners were protected by armed security. It's good enough for them, but not you little minions out there. Or, well, of course, they were trained professionals. Only trained professionals should have firearms. Town Hall Seattle had a sign in the glass door stating, "No firearms allowed in the building. Thank you for your cooperation." And inside was a visibly armed security guard. Isn't that amazing? Last summer, if you remember, Ceasefire is the organization that was fully engaged with the former Seattle mayor Mike McGuinn in pushing businesses to post gun-free zone decals in their windows. And a full listing of cooperating businesses is listed on the Ceasefire website. So there is more to add to your naughty or nice list and businesses that you will not want to patronize. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break, and I'll let Fox 519 take the eye on the economy delivered to you exclusively by Radio Free Readout, and then we will cruise into second segment two to finish up the news and commentary, because there's some very interesting stuff going on that I think you might be would be worth sitting around and waiting for. Very entertaining and disappointing and disgusting and everything all in one in segment. Schmidt will be right back.
The sun is setting in the west, and the east is beginning to see a new economic day. This week, we have seen more huge moves towards the death of the petrodollar by the Russians and the Chinese, and yet, we remain distracted by the likes of Donald Sterling and his antics, as well as these so-called Capitol Hill Republicans now trying to block tax cuts. This is Sunday, May 18th, 2014, and I am Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout.
When the debate is over, slander becomes the tool of the loser.
I'm Heather Scott, and I'm proud to say I'm the true sportsman and only Republican District 1A candidate endorsed by the NRA. I won't let negative ads and lies stop my goal to make change in our representation for North Idaho. I'm not backed by big corporations or liberal special interest groups from Boise. I'm backed by you, the people. And we're winning. We hold the power, and we will hold our government accountable. I believe that a well-informed voter is a powerful and necessary force to keep our government in check. And I believe that Idahoans are people like me with a can-do spirit, willing to fix their problems using common sense. I trust you, the people, and I will be a representative of the district for the district. It is time to bring the truth, reality, and common sense back to our representation. Vote for me, and I'll do that. Paid for by Heather Scott for North Idaho, Andrew Scott Treasurer.
Welcome back. These are some truly strange days we live in. We are seeing the decay and crumbling of our own economy while Russia and China begin their ascension to economic independency of our dollar. This week, the oil and gas deal I spoke of that was taking place between Russia and China is 98% complete and is ready to be signed. The deal has had several sticking points along the way, and it's mainly been the base price for the natural gas that Russia will be selling to China. But according to Deputy Prime Minister Arkady Dvorakovich, the base price problem has been solved, and they're working to sign that contract in mid-May. This move truly signifies Russia and China's economic commitment to eliminating the dollar as the world reserve currency, as well as it being the sole currency for all energy transactions. To further this ideal, the Prime News Agency reported that on April 24th, the government of Russia organized a special meeting dedicated to finding a solution for getting rid of the U.S. dollar in Russia export operations. Top-level experts from the energy sector, banks, and governmental agencies from Russia, China, and Iran were summoned, and a number of measures were proposed as a response for the American sanctions against Russia. The de-dollarization meeting was chaired by First Prime Minister of Russian Federation Igor Shuvalov, proving that Moscow is very serious in its intention for stopping the use of the dollar. A subsequent meeting was chaired by Deputy Finance Minister Alexei Moyazev, who later told Rosa, Channel 24 in Russia, that the amount of ruble-denominated contracts would be increased, adding that none of the polled experts at the bank represented found any problems with the government's plan to increase the share of the ruble in payments. My fellow patriots, this is major news. If the U.S. dollar loses its position as both the reserve currency and petrodollar status, we can rest assured that we are in major, major trouble, and very quickly. I'm talking like $50 per gasoline and $40 per loaf of bread kind of trouble. All of us, quote, alternative economists are saying that things are going to be changing in the next 6 months. This is your warning, everyone. Don't ignore what we're saying. I need to offer up an apology for a story I brought you last month about the unemployment rate being 25% growing. I was wrong. Because it isn't 25%, it's actually 37.2%. In an article this week on the Washington Examiner, famed Wall Street economist David John Marotta and his counterpart Megan Russell have penned a memo to their investors advising them that, quote, the unemployment rate only describes people who are currently working or looking for work. That leaves out a ton more. Unemployment, in its truest definition, meaning the portion of people who do not have any job, is 37.2%. This number obviously includes some people who have or never plan to seek employment, but it does describe how many people who are not able to or do not want to find or cannot find a way to work. Policies that remove the barriers to employment, thus decrease the number of people on unemployment benefits, are obviously beneficial. I knew this had to be a lot higher. So I went and verified this against the FRED database, and he's pretty darn close. I said from the start that the U3 level unemployment was a completely useless metric. The true definition should always be the U6 level that includes everyone who's looking for work, who cannot find work, and those who have been trying to look for work but have fallen off the unemployment benefits. As I've read stories like these, I just become furious with the political establishment and their media puppets. Why can't they just tell us the truth? Why do they always attempt to lie? This is getting to the point that you can't believe anything they tell you. Listeners, you have to investigate the truth for yourselves, and once you find it, be bold enough to share it with everyone you know. And finally tonight, in another example of incredible local government waste, $100,000 has been spent already this year in the redoubt on something that is frankly not needed, and that is dry cleaning. Though I'm not a fan of the local CBS affiliate Creme 2, they have brought their readers a story about the amount of money that the counties of Spokane, Lewiston, Moscow, Pullman, Coeur d'Alene, Latah, Grant, and the Idaho State Police have spent on dry cleaning, and has added up to $100,000 in combined dry cleaning expenses. Now, I know this from past experience, but before I entered the finance industry, I had a previous life, and I always washed my uniform at home. It stayed clean, and if it got dirty, I washed it again. I never dry cleaned it. And today's modern uniforms don't need to be dry cleaned. They're made of nylon and polyester. $100,000 is an absurd amount of money to be spent on something like this. This is why we need most of you patriots to rise up to your local communities and demand that the budgets of your local counties be realistic and reasonable. If they're not, spread the word. Yes, $100,000 may not seem like a lot, but couldn't they use those monies to be more constructive? As for my advice this evening, it's time to make sure that your investments are ready for you to access right away. I know I often sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but I often get questions in my inbox all the time about what to do with one's investments in 401k. Let me be perfectly clear about this. If you don't physically own it, it isn't yours. If your money is housed in 401k, with a push of a button, it could be gone. If you hold it in stocks, the market crashes. It's gone, and even though you might have placed that sell order at a certain price, good luck getting that money. If you're concerned about if you have a car loan and the economy crashes, don't be. Who's going to collect on that once all the banks and the finance houses are closed? I, Fox 519, and work in a bank, and I tell you, I'm not going to be out collecting it. I'm going to be home with my family. Once the bottom falls out, our society will not care about who owns what. Our money is going to be useless. The only currencies that I feel will matter are gold, silver, bullets, chickens, and goats. You need to be ready for the coming economy. You need to invest in real, tangible things that will benefit you and yours. Well, thanks again for listening this week, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt, and this is segment two. Welcome back. This segment is sponsored by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. They provide outstanding real estate services in the North Idaho Panhandle in the heart of the American Redoubt, and they are assisting like-minded patriots, God-fearing, liberty-minded people and businesses to relocate. You can learn more by going to www.selkirkmountainrealestate.com. That's all one word. Also, those of you, thank you. I cannot begin to tell you how grateful we are for those of you who have chosen to make contributions to help support the cause and what we are doing to move forward and to advance the cause of freedom and to deliver truth and to help excite this demographic shift and the strategic relocation of patriots into the American Redoubt, and then also to strengthen the American Redoubt. And that, you guys stepping up to help us get that done is very humbling And we are very grateful. And I just wanted to say that. Some of you have asked, you know, you're still continuing to ask, you know, how can we support? Well, you can set up a PayPal account. You can set it up as a recurring, anything, $5, $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever it is, to help support what we're doing. And then, of course, if you're not familiar or you're not comfortable, rather, using PayPal, we do have a mail drop P.O. box where those good folks, the Patriots there, make sure that we get any correspondence within 24 to 48 hours, but usually within about 24 hours, they have it to us. And all that information is there on the website by clicking on the Support Radio Free Redoubt tab. Okay, there is something Thursday night when we were at this Dick Heller Second Amendment victory tour from the Heller versus the Washington, D.C. Case. He's on a five-stop tour. And Thursday evening, he was in Post Falls at the Greyhound Park. And we streamed that live. And thanks, you guys, for tuning in. And I got a bunch of emails while we were doing that. I'm streaming live. I'm like, people are like, yeah, this is cool. Are you streaming now? Oh yeah, man, we got listeners out there. Look at, you know, I could see how many people are on the website. It just shows, you know, the number of people that are there. And then I started getting emails. Hey, what's going on? How come you're not streaming? And I looked on the side of my computer and the microphone in jack for streaming was plugged into the headphone jack. Some of our partisan helpers were playing with stuff and pushing buttons and plugging stuff in. And so either I did it or somebody else did it, but we fixed it. It was like 20 minutes into the thing, which actually they got started about 10 minutes late anyway. And then there was a lot of just introduction and invocations and things, and, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance. And so you didn't really miss a whole lot. But anyway, that's what happened with that. During this event, I was approached by the Kootenai County clerk, and he come up, he says, hey, thank you guys for what you're doing. And, you know, thanks for Radio Free Redoubt. And he says, I want to ask prayer for you, from you, please. And if you could ask the listening audience to please pray for me. Of course. What's up? And he said, did you hear about what happened with the judge striking down the Idaho same-sex marriage thing? And I did. Now, in case you guys didn't hear about that, and let's bring you up to speed. In 2007, the Idaho legislature passed a constitutional amendment defining marriage as between one man and one woman. Well, one single individual judge last week overruled that, saying that it's unconstitutional. So the Idaho state constitution is unconstitutional. And that it would be effective last Thursday at close of business, so that Friday morning, last Friday, at 9 a.m., when the courthouse opened, they must begin issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Well, right at the end of the day on Thursday, there was another judge he stayed that in the appeals court. He basically put the brakes on this other judge's ruling. Now, these people will not stop. They're going to keep coming. They're going to keep pushing their agenda forward. And this is one judge, this one woman, who overruled the will of the people and the legislature of this sovereign republic, Idaho. But this other judge stepped in and put a temporary stay on it. And I want to place emphasis on temporary. Now, when you see this in the news, if this gets pushed where Idaho must accept this, well, they're not going to accept it, but the law is still going to state that they have to. You're not seeing the will of the people here when you see that. Oh, there went Idaho. I can't believe Idaho. Wow, I would have never thought. Well, this because it's not the people of Idaho. It's a single judge. Now, this Kootenai County clerk, he says, I need your prayers, because if this thing goes full bore, he says, I was prepared to tomorrow morning. This is Thursday evening. He's talking to me. He said, if this hadn't happened, I was prepared tomorrow morning to be let out of there in cuffs or to lose my job. Because as county clerk, I will not issue one single marriage license to two homosexuals. It's not going to happen on my watch. So he's nervous. We patriots have some very serious decisions to make. He's not alone. Many are going down that same path. People are losing their businesses. They're being fined because they won't bake a birthday cake, or they're shutting down their business. They won't bake a so-called wedding cake for a homosexual couple. People have principles that are driven by their faith, the word of God, and they believe in. They have the right to practice their religion, and this violates their moral conscience. So they're being forced to violate their moral conscience by a perverted system. And this is what we're up against. So if you could remember Kootenai County Clerk in your prayer requests, that would be great. His name is Jim. And you know what? I think it would also be helpful if you could, I don't have his address. I just thought of this. If you guys could mail some letters or postcards of support to the county clerk, I'm sure it's something easy you could Google. And I don't want to hold things up to do that right now, but Polly01, could you, I know you're listening right now. Can you get the mailing address for the Kootenai County Clerk? And get his last name. I don't want to ruin it. I know his first name is Jim, and he's been to a couple Oath Keeper meetings. I've met him before, and he's just a great godly man, and he wants to do the right thing. If you guys could send him some letters of support and postcards saying thank you for standing your ground, we are praying for you. That will go a long way to encouraging a fellow patriot and a brother. So anyway, this is a victory, but we're concerned that it could be just a temporary victory. The Gallup organization just did a poll. Voter enthusiasm down sharply. A majority of registered voters, 53%, say they are less enthusiastic about voting than in previous elections. Among registered voters, 42% of Republicans and Republican-leaning independents currently say they are more enthusiastic than usual about voting, while 50% are less enthusiastic. But Democrats are even less enthusiastic, with a 23-point deficit. 32% are more enthusiastic versus 55%, which are less enthusiastic. So typically, the party whose supporters have an advantage in enthusiasm has done better in midterm elections. And you know what? You guys know there's midterm elections, right? Mrs. Schmidt took a stack of these voter guides from this rally that was put out by, oh, geez. Oh, man, I can't think of it right now. It's one of the organizations that put out one of these voter guides. They had a whole stack of them. She took a small stack to pass out to people that she knows, to tell everybody that they know who to vote for, because people need to know who to vote for. And it was amazing the reaction she was getting when people were like, oh, I didn't even know there was an election on Tuesday. They don't even not only not... know who to vote for, they don't even realize that there is an election. That's not a joke. I'm serious. People are disengaged. These are Christians. These are patriotic people that talk about, oh, our nation's in trouble. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for revival. We got to get involved, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm serious. The exact same people who say that said, there's an election on Tuesday. Wake up, Christians. Wake up, patriots. Wake up your neighbors. Well, fortunately, because of this, that will probably one individual that she approached, it'll probably result in about 20 to 25 votes. Isn't that cool? Because Mrs. Schmidt went out there and informed somebody. So who do you know? Who's in your circle of influence? Who can you inform? There's more coming up. We're going to talk about that. Okay, now I want to talk about something that happened. This is kind of American Readout news. Last week, in case you missed it, was the Idaho governor candidate debates on Idaho Public Television. Now, you can go and you can see this by going to Idaho Public television, IPTV, IPDTV, just Google it. And you've probably already seen it, though, on the evening, you know, variety shows and things like that, Conan O'Brien or whatever these others are, because this thing was a freak show. Idaho is now an embarrassing laughingstock to the rest of the country. But this was a strategic move, and I'll point that out in just a few minutes. They got four individuals, Mr. Harley Biker Dude, Walt Bears, little old Santa Claus man, what they called the old curmudgeon, and then you've got the incumbent, Butch Otter, and then you've got the patriot, Senator Russ Fulcher. Now, in case you guys don't know it, in the western states, there is a huge battle right now for states to take back these public lands. There are trillions of dollars, literally, tied up in each individual state worth of natural resources. But we can't get to them because the federal government's going, that's ours. You can't, you can't use this road anymore now. You can't access this. Or, we got to protect this turtle. This owl over here. The salamander over here. They're using the EPA. They're using the Department of Lands. They're using all these different federal mechanisms. Yesterday at this speaking engagement put on by the Spokane Tea Party Patriots, there's a Senator Jennifer Fielder, brilliant, well-informed, educated, well-spoken, and laid out the case for what's going on. She's heavily involved in the American Lands Council, which is really on the front lines of this battle to get these lands turned over to the states. She laid out a very strong case for it. There is no reason for us not to have control of our own lands. The only reason why people wouldn't is if they're not informed and they're not getting involved. And there's misinformation out there too. Now, back to the debates. In the debates, Senator Russ Fulcher, the patriot, laid out the case and several times referred to the economic vitality in Idaho being tied to these trillions of dollars in Idaho that are tied up in lands that are occupied by the federal government. And they need to be liberated. We're in the business of liberating occupations, right? Well, right now, there are state lands in Montana, in Idaho, in Washington, Oregon, and Wyoming that need to be liberated because right now they're under occupation by the federal government. And he lays out the case here and he refers to this. Actually, listen to this soundbite, because Fulcher saying, you know, we've got to get the lands back. So just take a listen to this.
Well, Senator Fulcher, would you like to respond on this issue?
I'd like to respond to that. We will never achieve a goal if we don't set it and put a plan forth to go get it. There is a unique opportunity to do this now, and the reason is because it makes sense for everyone. Our current path is not sustainable. 36% of our state budget comes from the feds. They're broke. It makes sense at this point for them to be able to turn over some of that land.
Okay, listen to this. Makes sense, right? Okay, now listen to the lame response by the former conservative sitting Governor Otter.
I would like to respond to that. And it's a great idea to get back all our land. I wish them well, only I just don't think it's going to happen. But I would ask them this question, and everybody that pursues the idea of us automatically getting back all our land in Idaho. I say again, I wish them well. I'd love to have the fact that we have all that land here. But 2 years ago, my fire bill was $220 million. And that wasn't an exceptional year. But 2 years ago, $220 million, I actually paid $14 million of it, Walt. And the federal government paid the other 206. Now, let's say we have all that land here. Now I've got a $220 million bill. Where are you going to get the 206? You've got three areas you can get the $206 million. Education, corrections, or health and welfare. Where are you going to take it from?
Did you catch that? Okay, we're not gonna take back our land, so we got access to trillions of dollars worth of natural resources. because we would be stuck with a $200 million firefighting bill. You understand this upside down Alice in Wonderland response from the former conservative, Butch Otter? This is amazing type of logic. Secondly, it wouldn't cost you $220 million to fight these fires because they wouldn't be such raging infernos because you could get in there and manage it properly. And so that's going to contribute to your economic vitality by harvesting your renewable resources, your timber. Plus, you won't have those type of fires where you got to spend $220 million fighting them because you're managing it properly. Third, This is a strange argument here, because this is like a liberal type of argument, because we're going to spend $220 million. Where's that money going to come from? It's only going to come from education or from corrections or from health and welfare. So here's the logic. If we have to fight if we have to pay the bill, if we take back our own lands from the federal government, then we're going to have to pay this bill, which means we're going to have to take the money from somewhere. And it's either the children are going to suffer, education, or the poor are going to suffer, health and welfare, or you're going to let criminals out onto the streets, corrections. He only offers those three solutions for where's the money going to come from. So either way, you're the bad guy who's hurting children or hurting the poor or letting criminals out onto the streets. And listen to this. He's telling Fulcher that he needs a dose of reality. Listen.
Leadership requires a heavy dose of reality, and not to mislead people into thinking that they can achieve something they can't. I say again, I wish them well on the public lands. I say again, I think in 3 or 4, 5 years, we're going to have a private sector answer to our health care exchange.
Wow. He's telling him that he's telling Fulcher, you need a dose of reality. And then he says, Obamacare, in a few years, there's going to be a private solution that's going to step up, as if Obamacare is going to just be a temporary solution. You handed over healthcare to a socialized system where hundreds of billions of dollars are involved. And you think they're going to let that go? Who needs a dose of reality? You also think that the private solution is going to come forward in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years? What do you base that on? Because in 3 or 4 or 5 years, there won't be a private solution. This entire thing is designed for one healthcare provider, and that is the government. This is intentionally designed by the socialists, by the globalists, to completely get you relying on them. They will control the healthcare. There will not be a private solution that will be legal in 3 or 4 or 5 years. This isn't temporary. Who are you fooling? Who needs a dose of reality? And you're right, Mr. Governor, former conservative. What a leader must have is a dose of reality. And since you just demonstrated and indicted yourself with your own words, you need to step down, Mr. Governor, because you obviously don't have the dose of reality that you're saying is required of a leader. And here's the thing. Otter cannot stand up to Fulcher on the issues. Fulcher exposes Otter in his increasingly left-leaning fiscal policies. He's a social conservative. Governor Otter, he's opposed to homosexual so-called marriage. He's opposed to abortion. But fiscally, he is reckless or in denial or deceived, or he knows better. What kind of backdoor deals, what type of arm twisting took place to make him switch directions? Very interesting to know. But see, he can't stand up. He does not like debating Fulcher, Senator Fulcher, the patriot. Because he can't hold up to him in the debates. Something happened in this debate, something very revealing that most people missed. I don't think Otter was expecting this to be exposed, but it happened. See, the Harley biker guy and the what they called the old curmudgeon, Walt Bays, sweet little old man, just a neat guy. I actually really liked him. He's just not governor material. But after this is over, he turns to Governor Otter and he thanks him for Governor Otter insisting that he and the other guy be there. Turn this into a freak show, some type of like a circus show. But listen to this. Listen to this audio clip.
Butch, I'd like to thank you for making it possible for me to be here tonight.
You're welcome.
He kind of insisted that me and this other unnormal person could be here tonight.
Oops. Sure, Walt. Shut up, Walt. Shut up, Walt. I can hear it. Oh, my goodness. This was a brilliantly deceptive move on the former conservative Otter's part. Because what's everybody talking about? He cannot stand up to Fulcher on the issues in a debate. He gets smoked like a cheap cigar, right? He gets exposed. But so what's everyone talking about? What's the evening variety shows talking about? They're talking about the freak show. They aren't talking about the issues. And they don't remember where anyone stands on the real issues. They don't understand that Fulcher won the debate. They're cracking up over what a bunch of morons people from Idaho are. Brilliant. All right, coming up in the next segment, Dick Heller. We're going to talk about that just a little bit. And we recorded that, but we don't have the audio files. It's been a busy 5 days. I didn't get a chance to process those. But there's a couple things I wanted to just talk about, touching on that. And then we'll see. Yeah, we'll get everything wrapped up here. Okay, this is the Voice of the American Redux. Come on!
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. For years, we've specialized in locating and securing the best survivalist retreats in the most sustainable area America has to offer. The clean and abundant fresh water found in North Idaho's springs, creeks, lakes, and rivers are the primary reason folks come here, as nothing is more important than water. Excellent seasons, rich soils, and clean Rocky Mountain air make for an ideal growing environment with no threat of tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, or forest fires. The best part of North Idaho is her people, friendly conservatives with beliefs deeply rooted in the Constitution and a sense of community. I want to invite you and your family to join us here, to secure a peaceful future in a place that will sidestep much of the chaos that we all know is coming. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. revrealty.us. And may God bless you.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Redoubt. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
Hey everyone, this is Glenn Tate. You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt and John Jacob Schmidt. His name is my name too.
I am John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-minded patriot. Welcome to segment three. This segment is sponsored by AMP3, Austere Medical, and Practical Preparedness Project. They produce and sell medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. There's something I want to share with you by John Adams. He said, "Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people." And how do you get general knowledge among the people? You have to educate yourself. Tuesday night, there's a lot of stuff going on right now for you, opportunities for you to educate yourself. Codename Fox 519. His father bought two tickets for him and for me, for Fox 519 and for me, to attend a John Birch Society presentation that was put on by the CEO of the John Birch Society. And it was put on by the Northwest Grassroots and the Spokane Tea Party Patriots. They sponsored and presented it. Did a great job. There's stuff out there that you have to get engaged in, because the information out there, most of that stuff I'd heard before. There's a couple of things I was like, ooh, I hadn't heard that before. That's very interesting. We have to increase our knowledge. We have to be engaged. We have to be informed. Dick Heller, he spoke Thursday evening, the Second Amendment victory. What was really good about this was that the candidates were there, the true patriot candidates. it was just a great time. It was a great way to just look these people in the eye and learn from them about where they stand on the issues, to get to know them, let them, and several of them spoke. Like I said, I don't have the audio file all, you know, produced from that. Those of you who are able to listen, some of them are, well, bless them, they're just not public speakers. So I know I heard from you guys like, yeah, we're going to sleep here. But their hearts are in the right place. And they're trying to share information with you. And some of it, I understand, sometimes it's hard to get through. But I'll tell you what, there was really a great moment. Matt Shea spoke, he opened after the invocation, and there has been Representative Matt Shea, District 4, Spokane Valley, Patriot, and there's a guy that's been following him around, secretly videotaping him, and they caught on to the guy, and Matt called him out, I mean, in front of everybody, probably about 150 people in attendance, and it was just awesome. And I just thought it was one of the highlights of my evening. So I just wanted to share it with you. Check this out. We need to call these. We need to shine light on these little cockroaches. This is a left wing candidate that's being supported by the establishment. He's got one of his little spies out there following Matt Shea around. So listen to this. This is good.
I think that we have to deal with a lot of things. And one of them is we have to deal with fake conservatives that are bought and paid for by the Karl Rove establishment. Unfortunately, some in my area have recruited a primary opponent against me, and tonight, in the red and white plaid shirt, my opponent has sent somebody here to film this, and don't be clandestine about it. Come on up front. We're all friends here. Come on up front so you get a better angle at filming me tonight. Instead of being clandestine about it like you were in Colville. Come on up. I mean it. We're all friends. Get a better angle. Sit up next to the tripod so maybe you can go back to the establishment and teach them what constitutionalism really is, and they can defend it throughout America. Amen?
I thought that was great. That guy, he just sat there and you could see him get smaller and smaller. By the time everybody started clapping, the guy was about 2 inches tall and he folded up his video camera and he just put his tail between his legs and he just slunk out of there. And, I just thought it was cool. I did get to speak to several of the candidates, and I want to point out, too, actually, you know, I'm going to talk about some of the candidates and some of the stuff that we're up against. Tuesday, for you patriots living in Idaho, there's a little bit of information I want to share with you guys because we're getting down to the wire. Don't forget, you can go to our page, our voter resources page, and get informed and pass that along to others. Send the hyperlink to your friends and everybody that you know in Idaho so they can get informed. But one thing that I did get to do is sit down and speak with. Remember, we've been talking about these committeemen in Washington. They're precinct committee organizers. In Idaho, they're just called precinct committeemen, and this is a position that's on the ballot that I didn't even really knew existed. And then when I found out that they do exist, I didn't even really realize what they do, but they really drive the direction that the party goes. And we talk about, oh, the party's shifting to the left. The Republicans are shifting to the left. That's because at the lowest level, the Republican Party's being infiltrated by left-leaning socialist program-driving individuals. And they're shifting the party platform to the left. And so the fight's on. So I've been learning more about this, and I wanted to share this interview with you. There's two that I got the privilege to be able to sit down and speak with. One, an oath keeper and patriot, Don Bradway. He's done a wonderful job organizing some of the oath keeper rallies and being a part of just organizing a lot of stuff with Rally Right and these other patriot organizations. Very, very engaged, very involved, very knowledgeable. And a friend of mine, he's just a neat, neat guy. And also a young lady that I've seen before at different events, but I've never actually met her before. And her name is Jennifer Locke. Now, Don Bradway is running for a precinct committeeman position in one district. And Jennifer is a sitting incumbent and also running for re-election for precinct committeeman in her district. And no, this really is not Sandra Bullock. I know there's similar and sounds just like her, but no, this is not Sandra. Somebody was like, that sounds just like Sandra Bullock. Well, it's not. Slightly resembles her and sounds just like her, but this is not. This is really Jennifer Locke and Don Bradway. So sit back and listen to what they have to say. It's very informative.
Okay, we've talked about the importance of these committee members, committeemen. And in Washington State, they're called PCOs. In Idaho, they're referred to as precinct committeeman.
Mm-hmm. Committeeman. It's a very sexist term.
Absolutely. And well, the rules in English are where it doesn't specify the masculine dominates.
That's right. The old rules that still apply, but that's exactly
right. Exactly.
So
I still call myself a precinct committeeman.
Well, sure.
Right. Cool.
I'm not politically correct.
Okay, so this is really cool because we're actually here talking to an incumbent committeeman, Jennifer Locke, and a candidate for precinct committeeman,
right,
Don Bradway.
I'm Don.
I didn't think you were Jennifer, but Don could be either one, right?
Trust me, I've had that happen.
Yeah. Explain for the listeners, I don't know who wants to go first, Don or Jennifer. Explain what a precinct committeeman is.
Jen, why don't you take it? You've got a good
list
there.
Well, first, to start off, it's a volunteer position. I think that's really important. A lot of us put a lot of hard time and money into walking our precincts. It's the lowest form of official in the Republican Party. And there's
Let's call it the lowest level, lowest form.
I know. Okay. And there's about 70 positions in Kootenai County for a precinct committeeman. Not all of them are full, and not everyone runs for them, but we have a pretty competitive race this time around of, I would say, conservatives against the moderates and the establishment.
Yes.
Being
kind.
Yes. And so what we do is we get out and we interact with people, let them know what's going on within the party, what candidates are out there running. You know, we hand out information to see if they would like to get any information on the candidates. Just keeping informed, too, on the subjects. One of the reasons I ran last time, 2 years ago, was because of the Unified Land Use Code going on in Kootenai County.
Yes.
And we were able to defeat that. And a lot of it, I think, came through the precinct people. In July of 2012, we had passed a resolution on the Central Committee. And then a lot of people got together as property owners and organized groups, one of them being Northwest Property Owner Alliance.
Was that kind of facilitated by these precinct committeemen?
I would say part of it in the beginning was. The very first meeting we had, we tried to introduce a resolution against it. And then the second meeting we had in July of 2012, we passed it. And that's when it's really the ball got rolling and people were being informed about the subject. A lot of property owners in the county had no real knowledge of what was going on.
One of the advantages of an organization like this is that you have a goodly number of people who have a fairly common goal. First off, we have an R after our name, even though we know, and we can talk about that later, there are insurgents. But the advantage is that you've got a lot of people who care about a lot of the same issues. And mm-hmm. So this uniform land use, I got actively involved because of Jennifer and Leah Southwell and a number of other people. But it was because of this organization that existed already that people could interact among themselves. Because once you meet, you start finding out, okay, these people think like I do. I want to know who they are. And so then your group grows from that, but having a central committee like this makes it much more advantageous.
And I would say that they're activists. I think a lot of these central committee people just don't go to the meetings to go. They go out to really educate the community, let them know what's going on.
And how do you do this? Is this through like a town hall meeting?
Yeah. For instance, I'm on the legislative subcommittee on the central committee, and we did a ton of town hall meetings. We did for the land code. We did one for the state exchange, and we had over 200 or 300 people showed up at that state exchange February of 2013.
we keep hearing how important the committee, the precinct committee men are because of the power that they wield that people don't realize. So explain that. What makes this such a powerful, influential position?
Well, I would say one of the positions we had back in, I think it was December, is when the clerk passed away, we had the ability as the party to appoint, not appoint, but nominate three people that then the commissioners would pick from. And so we were able to nominate three people.
Commissioners as in county commissioners?
County commissioners, yes.
Right. So they, the party, clerk
the central committee picked three nominees for clerk, and those three nominees were then proceeded to go to the commissioners, and the commissioners picked from those three the county clerk.
So do the precinct committeemen really matter in the big scope of things?
I think it depends who's in power.
Right.
I think the conservatives are more activists, and they go out and educate the community on issues like property rights, the state exchange. And then you have the other crowd that just want to be there to be there, and it's to protect their power in the establishment.
Or you also have those people who would just as soon retard what is being done by the conservatives. So they are roadblocking, right. And that's one of the problems we've got. There are several members on the Central Committee that, while, as I said earlier, they have an R after their name, it's pretty clear they have very Democrat party leanings on this, so they're trying to obfuscate. And so that's one of the big issues with this election right now is in the past there wasn't that much excitement around the position of committeemen, but there are a goodly number of conservatives who got in and started making something out of it, and all of a sudden the middle of the roaders, the rhinos, the wannabes realized, oh, they're effective. We need to do something to blunt that effectiveness. And so they've tossed a number of people in who, in many cases, they haven't done squat as far as political activism.
And they haven't been involved in the party. No. And I would say a lot of them, because I deal with a lot of these people on the other side, are not. Don't stand for their party platform.
No.
They're not pro-life. They're not for traditional marriage. And it's really disturbing to me that we have people from the top down. I mean, top down coming after Central Committee people because we're not supporting them.
Yeah.
We're supporting other people.
And they're whether it's a representative, a senator, or a precinct committeeman, if they don't follow the party platform, they got to go.
Well, that's what we're trying to educate the voters about. That I've been very actively walking my precinct, the 14th precinct in Hayden. And one of the things that I have consistently talked to those folks that I've met is, I'm here to represent you. And I've been telling them I've been trying to establish a database of telephone numbers and or email addresses so that if I'm elected, please, Lord, let that happen, I will have this database. And then I have told these people that I want to be able to communicate with you. So if an issue comes up at the Central Committee, the Republican Central Committee, I want to be able to, if I think it's noteworthy, I want to pass that on to you, my constituents, so that you have an idea what's happening. Conversely, if you read something in the paper, your friends are talking about, oh, we heard about those Republicans, you have my phone number, you have my email address, and you
so
can contact
me. You are the liaison to all, well, okay, a senator or a county commissioner or a state representative, they're kind of in their little box. They got the tunnel vision, right?
Yes.
But you've got access to all of them.
Exactly.
Yes, all
right.
Yeah,
and that's a really good way of putting it. Another thing that the Central Committee does, and bear in mind, there are two Central Committees. There's a Republican, and then there's a rather minuscule Democrat Central.
Right.
Because, but one of the things that the Central Committee does is talk about what she needs to go on the platform. The Republican platform.
They appoint delegates to go down to the state convention.
Right.
So after this, after this election's over, we will then reorganize. We will put people in charge, leadership, and those people then appoint or vote on. Actually, the whole body votes on the delegates. So the delegates will go down. This year it's Moscow. And they basically set, you know, the platform, and they vote on decisions. What's going to be in the platform and what's not. And so a lot of them, and a lot of the moderates are not happy with the current platform,
right.
And they want to see things stripped out of it.
I'll bet they do.
Yes.
Otter being one.
Yeah, they want to completely take the Republican Party completely to the left.
That's exactly right. And
so
what
the PCO,
we're fighting.
The
committeemen
are the ones that drive that
Yes.
Yes.
That direction.
Right. You could say that committeeman position is foundational to the Republican Party in the state of Idaho.
Yes.
Starting, and it's a county position, but Kootenai County is the reddest county in the reddest state. And so what we do or fail to do will have an impact on Republican Party politics in this state. And that's why this election is so crucial, is that we have got to defeat those people who want to come in and water down the message of who Republicans truly are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's where they're fighting.
Yep.
I mean, on all levels.
Yes.
But this is an area that people aren't even aware of.
That's right.
That needs to be fought over.
Yeah, and I think it's an important position. If people really want to be active in the community or in the party especially, it is an important position because you learn a lot. You learn a lot from these legislators that you interact with, county commissioners, and these people go on then to can run for bigger things. And I think it's an important position to get your feet wet and meet neighbors. And
there are a number of
When you say a precinct committeeman, we're talking about your voter precinct.
That's
like everybody exactly right. In my little precinct, we all go to this elementary school or this church to vote
right.
or this.
Exactly.
Okay, so you are the committeeman for, you represent that small neighborhood sometimes.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay. Mine, for instance, is pretty much all around Hayden Lake. It's not necessarily always small.
That's exactly
what I'm
right.
seeing here is we've got some people that have a lot of influence in driving setting a course,
mm-hmm.
a direction, and we've got left-leaning so-called Republicans getting into these positions driving a left-wing agenda.
I would even say that they are having an agenda. The people are being picked to run. There's certain people in this county, and I won't mention their name, are driving this, and they're picking people that they just know. They may not even be politically active. And so, to me, they're just basically yes men, basically to stop what we've done as conservatives and to basically go down there, I think, in Moscow and change the party platform.
Yeah.
And it's coming from top down. It's not, this is a serious thing.
Top down, you mean national level or state level?
I'm saying state level.
Okay.
State level.
Well, the problem that I have with the committees here is that they're voted in, which means there's no accountability. There's no way to enforce them adhering to the party platform. You can pull the wool over the eyes of the voters. There's no way to fire these people, right?
No, I mean every 2 years. So, every 2 years we have a race for the precinct committeeman. Right. So that would be...
That's your term limits is every 2 years
the switching,
you vote.
Okay. But what they're doing, for instance, on their literature right now, they're saying they're rational, reasonable, responsible Republicans. What does that mean?
It means they're socialist in sheep's clothing.
They're not Republicans in my eyes.
No, they're not.
They won't sign they won't even... They had the ability to sign the platform, line or plank by plank. They could either reject it, one plank, or accept it. There, we have people from the governor up that refused to sign the platform, whether they agreed one part or not. I mean, where do these people stand? They say they're for jobs. They say they're for healthcare and education. What does that mean? I want to know where you stand on issues great on education, great on healthcare, life, liberty, property rights, traditional marriage. Where do you guys stand on this? And they're not allowing us to know because we know where they really stand.
Right.
It's not for the conservative values.
They don't want that to come to light.
That's exactly right. Yes. They are hiding behind it. And what they're looking to try to do is there are so few people who truly know what the committeeman position does.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I know the last election, the committeeman was a separate piece of paper. And when I opened my ballot, my absentee ballot, it fluttered to the floor.
This time it's on the actual ballot, which is nice.
Which is a big step.
Good.
But people have no idea. And if we're lucky, if they don't know who they are, they don't vote.
Well, that's our mission, is to make sure that they do know who they are.
That's right.
We have a list right here of the candidates that are running for precinct committeeman. And I believe this is just Kootenai County?
It's only Kootenai County, right.
Okay, the reddest county state in the nation.
Right.
So this is where it really counts.
And how many, because that list is excellent, John, and I was so glad to see you put that on the website. And you went through, and on certain ones, you said they're a rhino, and you didn't put a name in there, and that was very valuable. I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you, but it wasn't. I didn't do the work. I contacted people who've done the work, and I said, "Who do you have a resource that has a whole list of everybody that's running?" Because different people come from different precincts or from different legislative districts, and they say, who do I vote for? I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know who your people are. They should know that. But there really are some great watchdogs out there that are really patriots, and they've made these kind of lists possible.
Yes.
So all we did was create a page there on Radio Free Redoubt and kind of just consolidated all these resources that we had from coming from different directions and kind of put them all into one.
Right,
one
but
place.
You made it available, and we've just got to get the word out if anybody's got questions
sure.
about it. But by doing that, that's that much more education that people have. I didn't know who my committeeman was,
yeah.
and I finally had a chance to meet her.
I didn't know what a committeeman
that's right.
was.
Well, I didn't either until I started.
I mean, you
talking.
Go down the ballot and you go, committeeman, I don't know yeah. these people. I don't know what this means. I'm going to leave it blank.
Right.
One side of Hutlow and I have the other.
Yeah.
We always joke
okay,
around,
so your so. Precincts are your,
yeah,
right
we're
up next to each other.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So, I thought she was poaching mine the other day. She said she was on Hutlow. So.
That's okay. Winning patriots,
that's
winning
exactly
hearts
right.
and minds. You can,
yeah.
that, and, you can cross-pollinate. Yeah,
and one of the things that I want to mention here is that in my door-to-door campaign, I have met a lot of really good people.
Mm-hmm.
They are terribly concerned about this country. They are terribly concerned about where the Republican Party is going. And it's not doom and gloom. They are
excited.
Hold
on, let me get a hold of my gaffer here.
Certainly.
Stagehand. Hey, there is actually a cart with boxes right over there in that little doorway. That's what those go in.
Okay.
And we're almost done. All right.
Yeah.
Better wrap up. We're like the last ones.
I know.
Well, anyway, this is we're out of time, but I just want to thank you guys just for shedding a little bit more light on
glad to help.
On this mysterious position that I have to say that I was not even really aware of. But anyway,
just
God
think,
bless you guys.
Just think the party platform and delegates, that's why it's important. The precinct
right.
committee people pick those people that go down,
yeah.
the delegates, to go to the convention twice a year, or not
yes.
twice a year, every 2 years.
Every 2 years. Yeah.
And to basically adjust or change the platform.
Super important.
Yeah, it's super
not
super
just here,
important.
But all over the American Redoubt.
All
people
over.
Need
yeah.
to get engaged.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
right.
all right. Well, God bless you with Don Bradway and Jennifer Locke, both precinct committeemen to be and incumbent to continue to dominate.
Like, yeah.
yeah.
And okay. Well, anyway, thanks a lot for just taking a couple minutes to explain.
Thank you
this.
Very much.
Thank you.
All right. Godspeed to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. He estimates that at a minimum, a partial collapse of government services, the economy, our social structure, and life as we know it in America is coming in the not-too-distant future. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Benjamin Franklin said, "A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins." Those words are so full of wisdom. Unfortunately, to today's anti-American left, black is white and white is black. Up is down and down is up. I am informed and I know and prize my rights. Sadly, to today's socialist elite, quote, well-informed, means that you see things their way. I find it interesting that the globalist elitists of today attempt to coerce the masses, and especially the dissenters, by using control buzzwords like ignorance. If you oppose them, you are ignorant. And no one wants to be called ignorant. The implication is that they are enlightened and you are not, which makes you want to fall in line and be like them. If Mr. Franklin were alive today, he would be considered ignorant by the so-called elite. Of course, he would rebut that they are tyrants, and I would stand with Mr. Franklin. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
This Radio Free Redoubt thing is such a rush. Oh my gosh, I can't handle it!
Okay, going into the final segment, segment four. Remember, you can email us at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And don't forget to visit and share with your like-minded friends and family. Those of you who are listening to an iPod, downloaded CD, something that somebody gave you, don't forget, you can visit us at www.radiofreeredoubt.com, where whenever we are streaming live, all you have to do is go to the website and the streaming player will automatically begin playing. And, oh, when you are corresponding with us, please remember to include your AMRON call sign or your ARN code name so that we can keep that straight. This segment is sponsored by Patriot-owned Kati Armor. That's C-A-T-I Armor. They are the producers of Level 3 AR-500 body armor and accessories. So check them out. They're a great Patriot-owned business and great supporters of Radio Free Readout. Superior product. Now, I want to remind you guys, Tuesday, May 20th is the primaries. Oregon, May 20th, Tuesday, primaries. The other ones that we got coming up that we're going to be doing some research and providing information for you on is June 3rd is the Montana primary elections. Also, Washington, August 5th, and Wyoming, August 19th. As those dates draw nearer, we will be increasing the tempo of the information flowing from those different areas. And also on the Radio Free Readout website, on that voter page that we created, codename Pauly01, toward the top, put a link that actually shows the primary elections in all 50 states. So even if you're out there in occupied America, click on that, find out when the primaries are in your state, and get involved where you are. Fight the good fight where you are. And that's radiofreeredoubt.com/American-Readout-Voting-Information/. Okay, so I just totally complicated it. Just click on the map, the sepia map on the right-hand side toward the top, and that's the voter guide. That'll take you there. Now, there's some really heated races going on, critical because of the some former conservative and some never have been conservative Republicans that have some strong support by the establishment behind them. The establishment that has hijacked the Republican Party, and they're putting in candidates that are going completely against the party platform. State Senator Danielle Ahrens deserves your vote. She is going up against a senator that has an abysmal track record for conservative voting representing the people in Boise. She needs to be overthrown by Senator, soon to be, hopefully, the state senator position, Danielle Ahrens. Lieutenant Governor Jim Chmielik needs to get in there. We've got to kick the guy out who said that the Second Amendment does not guarantee citizens the right to own a firearm. That guy's got to go. We've got to replace him with Jim Chmielik. The Secretary of State, Lawrence Denny, also needs to get in there. Now, back up to the north. All of these are in District 1 right here. State Position A for the state representative, Heather Scott. Super important. She's going up against another left-wing socialist, so-called Republican, infiltrator, imposter. And then, of course, we've got to back Sage Dixon. Sage Dixon, oh my gosh. Sage Dixon, D-I-X-O-N, is a patriot running for position B, state representative. Okay, really important to get behind these people. The Idaho Reporter reported that there's two legislative candidates from North Idaho, one seeking election to the House and the other seeking re-election to the Senate, have declined to respond to a statewide opinion survey showing where they stand on the issues. Why? Because they don't want you to know where they stand on the issues, because they are left-wing. And we've got their voting records. Everything's out there for you guys to become informed. I want to also remind you guys, before we just wrap everything up here, Put on your calendars the 20th annual God and Country Celebration, June 27th through the 29th. That's the weekend before the 4th of July. Several of you have asked if we are going to be having another Patriot and Self-Reliance rally. Because of financial reasons, they have decided not to do that again at Farragut State Park in North Idaho. It was a success last year in many ways, but apparently not financially successful. And even though the momentum would be there, it'd be bigger, better, stronger, and it would probably be profitable the second time around, they just don't have the front money to get that off the ground. So we will be focusing our attention on the 20th annual God and Country Celebration in Marble Country, Marble, Washington. It's way up north, north of kind of northeast of Colville. And so that is going to be an event that you are not going to miss. I want to encourage you guys to start a communications group, a net, in your area if there is not one already. If there is one, then join it. You've got to get your communication skills up and running. And there's information to help you start or join a net in your area. Now, I know that you guys have, I've had several contact forms for contacting other redoubters or AMRON operators in your area. And also emails for changing information on your nets or adding a new net to AMRON.com. I'm behind on my emails because of all these speaking engagements and things that we've been covering, but you're not forgotten. And I'm going to be going back through there over the next about 24 to 48 hours, getting all that stuff caught up and be responding to those contact forms, memberships, and the changes in your local communications nets. And so I'll get those caught up. If you haven't done so already, get your communications SOI, the Standardized Communications Plan, to assist with AMRON communications. And it's only $2. Just send in $2 and we'll email you the download instructions and everything for that so that everybody's on the same page. Now, next week, we are going to be covering committees of correspondence and committees of safety. Some of you are actually hearing more about that, especially in these personal speaking engagements that we were talking about this. The listening audience, you are going to be hearing more about these and you're going to be seeing these. And next week, we're going to be talking about what they were in a historical context, and then how that is a model for us to follow. We're going to talk about what they'll be, how they can be used to make the Patriots a self-reliant, effective, and powerful force of connected, like-minded citizens, legislators, clergy, businessmen, and activists, so that you can have an impact on the American redoubt states with an agenda to strengthen and preserve Americanism and our heritage while driving back and fighting the destructive left-wing socialist, globalist, and anti-American agenda, and so much more. More to come, God-fearing patriots. So be ready this summer, God willing. You hear that rumbling? That's a storm coming. All right. Also next week, we will be announcing the T-Rex 2014. I know I saw those ears perking up. Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise 2014. We skipped it last year. This will be a nationwide disaster preparedness drill for you and your family, and we'll be incorporating a nationwide communications net exercise, T-Rex 2012, coming up in August. We don't have a solid date yet, but more information on that, we'll be talking about that next week. Plus, finally, the Partisan Diaries are back, and we have a special exclusive interview with codename Chloe, who worked so hard putting those together. We're going to talk about the second edition to the Partisan Diaries, the Pat O'Leary line, and that's the underground safe house and smuggling network where high-value persons were guided through occupied territory to avoid capture by the Axis powers during World War II. Really good stuff. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. You have a super blessed week. Thanks you so much for your letters of encouragement and your prayers and your insight. And it's just very encouraging that you guys are out there. Okay, I am John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the Voice of the American Redoubt. God bless you this week, and good night.